Hey, this is Bradley Weber, and I'm super pumped that you're joining us today. If you're a part of our Release City family, whether in person or online, we would love to connect with you on our social media platforms at Release City Church or on our website at releasecitychurch.org. There, you can stay connected with what's happening within the ministry, as well as giving options and opportunities to connect with other Release City family around the world. Now, I hope today's message encourages you and inspires you to run your race and become all that God is calling you to be. Now, let's jump into today's message. Amen, amen. Somebody shout out, today is my new start. My new start. Anybody else had one of those weeks last week where you were like, yep, I'll take a redo or a restart or reroute, whatever you want to call it. Siri, help me out, somebody. Anybody had one of those weeks? I'll take my restart right now. Glad I'm not alone today and that you are in the right place, because today's talk is entitled, Can I Get a Restart? Can I get a restart? Anybody ever found yourself in life where you're like, can I please just get a do-over? Like, can I just get a restart, please? We've all been there where Monday rolls around and you're trying to start your day with devotions and you got some worship music going. You're like, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then you get to work and you see that person. You know, that one that just has the way of robbing you of all your joy. You know what I'm saying? Just sometimes it's a look. Sometimes it's not even something they say. It's just that sour look. You know what I'm saying? Just, it's like, are you excited today? Well, show your face, tell your face about it, because you just about to wreck me over here. One of those days where it's a Monday morning. You know, sometimes Fridays feel like a Monday. You ever had one of those where you're like, wait a minute, is today Monday, where everything's just going wrong? Yeah. And you just wish you could just go back home, crawl into bed, and hit the reset button. Come on, somebody. Anybody else other than me? Yep. Just want to get back into bed and say, let's do this. Have you ever been talking to someone and right in the middle of the conversation, you're like, you know, I really would, you're not saying this out loud, this is internal conversation you have with yourself. You know, I really just wish I wouldn't have started this conversation. Anybody want to be truthful and say, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you wish you had that button that you could just hit it and it would just like rewind the past 2 minutes, and all of a sudden you see that same person coming at you and you're like, nope. y'all ever been there before? Like, reset. Somebody say reset. Reset. Well, the truth is we really don't have the luxury of going back and restarting a day. But I came today to let you know that you can have an intentional restart. In the midst of craziness, you can have an intentional restart. You can get a do-over after a mistake. I know I'm talking to a bunch of perfect Christians in the house, and this is probably just for people online today. It's probably not even for you, so just, you know, just grin and bear it. But maybe that you need to have a restart when you have a blowout in life. I'm not talking about a diaper. Come on, moms and dads. Y'all know what a blowout is. Up the back. Anyway, I'm not talking about, I'm a granddad, so that's just, and Tegan's going to be with Amy and I all week while mom and dad go over to the beach, so I'm just praying, Lord Jesus, no blowouts for G-Dad today, or any day this week. But you have a blowout in life, you know, when you're just going down through life and all of a sudden you hear that noise. You ever heard that in your car? It happens in life. I'm here today to tell you that you can have a restart after your failures and after your mess ups. Why? Because of God's grace and God's mercy. If you're taking notes down today, write those words. God's grace and God's mercy. It leads me to my first point today, and it's this. God's grace and God's mercy affords me the opportunity of a restart. His grace and his mercy on my life affords me, it gives freely to me the opportunity to have an intentional restart. It's the message of the gospel. I don't know what you came for today, but I came to give you good news. Aren't you glad that this book is good news? I've had all the bad news that I can get. 2020 is in the rearview mirror, baby. I'm not looking back. I'm not even looking back on this past week. I'm not even looking back on the past couple weeks when I was in bed sick, didn't want to even open my eyes. Some of that stuff's still hanging on. But I'm telling you what, I'm not looking back. I'm moving forward because there's a place that God is calling me, and God will never call you where you are. He's calling you to come to where he is, and that's called the purpose and the destiny for your life. Are you listening for his call today? I know I get riled up sometimes, and it's hard to take all of it in, but I'm just telling you, lean into the word today. And it's dangerous because I hadn't preached in a couple weeks. Sick 1 week. Last week, Amy did such an amazing job on Father's Day, and so today could be dangerous. I've had 2 weeks away, so I'm going to try to pack it all in. Somebody say, yeah, you do that. That wasn't nice. Listen, that wasn't me, that was him. Listen, we're already 6 months in to 2021. And this is what I want you to know. No matter how many mistakes that you have made, no matter how many mess-ups you've had, no matter how messed up or jacked up things may have gotten, hear me, you can have a restart. And I know what some of you are thinking, but Pastor B, you don't know some of the stuff that I've done. No, you don't know some of the stuff I've done. Why you up there then? God's grace and God's mercy. Not looking back. Come on, somebody. For some of y'all, it might have been last night. But don't look back. Keep moving forward. But you don't understand, Pastor B, some of the dumb choices I've made. No, I may not understand, but hear this. Hear this. If you're a child of God, his grace covers you. It's kind of like donuts. I'll just use any illustration. Y'all know I like donuts. It's no secret that Pastor B loves Krispy Kreme donuts. Matter of fact, I think we got a picture back there. I will smile. It could be the worst Monday of my life, and I will smile about a donut. It's so cool because people just drop donuts off at my house. It's amazing. Yes, come. Why did y'all move to that picture so fast? That is what happens after, the donut. But where that's at, have y'all ever watched where they make the donut? I don't know if they have one here, but back where we lived in Georgia, you could actually stand up to the window. Y'all know how kids do when they, you know, after you clean your glass at home and they got their face all up on the window and smashed up like that. That whole window is a whole wall, and you can literally just stand up there and watch sin go by. I'm like, yeah, it's crazy, and you can stand there, and it's amazing because these little donuts will just pop up in that hot grease, and then this little thing makes them flip, and then they ride up on this conveyor belt, and then crack just comes flowing out of this tube. It's called Krispy Kreme glaze, and it just covers the donut. And what I've learned about, somebody said, why are you talking about donuts? Because God's grace and mercy is like donuts. Because if you ever notice that as the cabinet out front where all the donuts are, as it gets empty, they just keep making donuts. Yes, thank you, Jesus. I felt the Holy Ghost right there. Just keep the crack flowing. I'm just kidding. It's all you got, y'all. I'm the real preacher. Some of y'all for the first time go, I'm not really so sure about this guy. He's talking about crack in church. Krispy Kreme is not of the devil. It's going to be right up there in heaven with Chick-fil-A and Starbucks and Krispy Kreme for dessert. And all the church said, amen, 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 amen. So it's the same way with mercy. We keep making mistakes and God keeps applying. God keeps applying his grace and mercy. That's what he does. Every time we use this life for things that it's not meant or designed to be used for, every time we empty the case, so to speak, God just creates in me a new heart, a new spirit, a right mind, a mind that is centered on him, and then he just applies the grace and mercy. Are you thankful for the grace and mercy in the house today? Come on, somebody. The Bible says that he knows our life from the beginning all the way to the end. Jeremiah 1:5, which I just read a few moments ago, said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Now that just messes me up. I knew you before you was. You existed before you were there. Come on, I want you to think about this. Because I've listened to this verse in every baby dedication. I've heard it throughout my years as a pastor's kid. God knew me. God knew you before you ever was. That's bad English, but you can understand it. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. He gave you a mouth for a reason. That is to declare the greatness of our God. Are you declaring the greatness of your God? Are you declaring all the negative stuff that happens at your house? Come, who am I talking to? In the Hebrew, the word new literally translates to deep friendship. So what's that mean? That God had a deep friendship with you before you were ever created. God had a deep friendship with you before you ever hit planet Earth. Before your mom and daddy ever laid eyes on you, God had already saw you. And he had a deep relationship. And listen, and he will spend your entire life trying to reconcile that friendship. What am I saying? Simply this: God wants to be your friend once again. I didn't put once again, that just flowed right there. Because before you were, you was. And he had a friendship with you before you were ever created. And he will fight for the rest of your life to reconcile and get back to that same relationship, because God wants to be your friend. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to start with verse 10. Actually, it's only going to be verse 10. And it says this: for we are God's masterpiece. Everybody say masterpiece. Turn to your spouse sitting next to you and tell them, say, that's right, I am. Now, for those of you that felt left out because you're not sitting next to a spouse, sit next to that person, smile real big, and say, mm-hmm, me too. You are a masterpiece. He has created us anew. Everybody say new. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Everybody say in Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ, this next line does not apply to you. So that we can do good things he planned for us long ago. So we must be in Christ, not in church, in Christ, not in Bible study, in Christ. It's more than just serving on a team or in kids or being a greeter at a door. You've got to not just show up at church, but you've got to be in Christ. And when you get in Christ, then, everybody say then you can do the good things that he planned for you long ago. Well, when was long ago? That was before you got here. There was a plan for your life before you got here. I'm telling you, this message is speaking to me more today than it was when I put it together. Lean over and tell your neighbor, tell him, say, God has a plan for me. God has a plan for me. What's that mean? It means that God has a plan for you before you got here. That plan existed. What plan? Good plan. Everybody say good. We don't need no bad stuff. I'm tired. I need good stuff. How do I get the good? When I get in Christ. If you haven't seen good in a while, check your location. I know. I'm just going for broke today. I'm just going all the way in. I'm going all the way up. No cap. If y'all looking for the fake pastor, he ain't here. So let me ask you this. I know. But you don't understand. I'm not always good. Listen. Do you understand that the will of God operates like a highway? Anybody ever use Google Maps? Anybody ever had a near miss experience using Google Maps? Because when Google Maps first came out and Siri first dropped on the scene, she waited until you got right up on the exit and then said, exit now. Wait, what? Exit now? I'm five lanes over and you saying exit now. Please. I used to say Siri was like the Holy Spirit, but she was the devil when she first came out. I'm surprised all my technology is not shutting down right now, because you start talking about Siri and the big eye in the sky starts messing with your stuff. Anybody ever seen that? Start having conversations about stuff. Next thing you know, it pops up in your social media. Be careful what you're talking about. Where'd she come from? I don't know. What you been talking about? Show is quiet up in here. Hey, let's do something real quick. Let's turn these stage lights off. Somebody hit that switch right there. Hit that light switch. Because I know it's hot. We're going to figure out what's going on. But it's hot, and those are 110 watts apiece. You can leave that one on. It doesn't matter. As long as you can see and the camera can get, but we just got to get the heat things off. It's like a sauna in here. But I don't want you to be distracted by your heat. Let the sweat roll, because what God's got for you today is going to so impact your life. I'm just saying. Amen? Come on, do you believe it today? So the will of God is like a highway. I don't know about you, but there's been times where Siri told me to get, or maybe I wasn't there. And I'll tell you what, when I make a wrong turn, I didn't just pull over the side road, get out of my car, kick the wheels, and start walking. Anybody else done that? What'd y'all do? You didn't do that, did you? No, you didn't. You found the nearest exit. You got off. You made a U-ey. And you got back on and went in the same direction. Listen, let me tell you something. The will of God for your life works the exact same way. You may have made a wrong turn. You may have been following somebody, and you actually follow them off an exit. You're following them through somewhere in life. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter who you're following. If you get your eyes back on Jesus, you can be rerouted in Jesus' name. Listen, your life may take some detours, but God's will always find a way to get you back on track. God is the originator of rerouting. You thought it was Siri. God is the originator of rerouting. Why? Because he has the master plan, and you are his masterpiece. So you took a wrong turn in life. I get it, so have I. Lots of them, and I've showed up in my purpose today. But all we got to do is get turned back around. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you're in a ditch. Maybe you're on a gravel road. Maybe things aren't rosy for you today. Let me tell you, the reason you're here is not because you saw an invitation on Facebook, not because somebody texted you, not because you just come all the time. You're here today on purpose, for a purpose, and it's this right here, to hear these words. No matter what path you may have gotten off on, God is ready to reroute you and get you back on course towards your destiny, and it starts today. Somebody make some noise in this little church. Somebody say, I'm God's masterpiece. I heard someone say this one time, that you're allowed to be both a masterpiece and a work in progress simultaneously. You are allowed to be his masterpiece and a work in progress all at the same time. What are those lyrics? If you're not dead, God's not done. If you're still breathing, God's not finished with you. Oftentimes, for many people, they feel like they've just failed too many times, or they just keep making the same old mistakes. Anybody else other than me? You just keep hitting that same wall. Bam, bam, bam. You know how you stop? You know how you stop hitting that wall? Turn around and change your direction. Some of y'all are following people. If they jump off a bridge, would you jump? Some of y'all have. And you're down there going, help. I wish I still had that life thing. And we're here, when you show up in here, what we're trying to do, if you're down at the bottom and you're freaking out, we're here to throw you a life vest and get you back on track so you can reach the destiny and the plan that God has for your life. So I just got to ask this. If God hasn't quit on you, why have you quit? I'm not expecting anybody to say anything in here other than the fact of, I know that there are some people who have quit this week. If God hasn't given up on you, then why are you giving up on you? I know what some of you are thinking. It's not going to happen to me, B. That's for somebody else. This is just my life, and I've come to terms with it. So what do we do with that? I'll tell you what we do. And why we have that mindset of, it's just got to be this way. Why? Let me drop some science on you. It's all fear. It's all a fear response. That's your response. It's true. Studies show that babies are born with two fears. Fear of falling. You ever watched a baby? If you make a sudden move. You and I were born with two fears. One, the fear of falling. And two, the fear of loud noises. Unless you're like J.C. May. And you have coverings so Pastor B's ears don't blow your eardrums. Some of y'all are like, where can I get some of them? two fears. Every fear, every other fear, because we face more fears than just that. Every other fear outside of falling and loud noises is learned. Over time, all other fears that we have as adults and young adults is developed through experiences. You have an experience, then you become afraid. You have an experience, then you become afraid. You're in a relationship, they broke your heart, then you become afraid. And what happens? You freeze. So you've heard the saying, the fear response. It's fight or... Okay, now we're talking about how do I hit the reset? Well, the thing that stops me from hitting reset is fear. So what our response to fear is fight. That's the first one. I'm going to fight for my... I got to come up to the decision, the determination that I'm going to fight for my vision. I'm going to fight for my dream. I'm going to fight for what God's called me to do. I'm going to fight for my marriage. Everybody say fight. The second response to fear, that's the response you should have. Fight. I'm going to fight. The second opportunity that we have is called flight. It's when I make a mistake, I run. I'm looking for the next plane out of here. But there's a third one. And this one I have just found out recently through this season of my life. And I actually shared it with you guys through a transparent moment just a few weeks ago. And the third one is you've got fight, flight, and freeze. Freeze. We freeze and we get stuck in a holding pattern. Many of you here today are in a holding pattern. I shared with you how the season of losing both of my parents within a 3-week span and living in the house where I grew up and literally walking in my dad's shadows. I didn't get to go back to Georgia and punch a time clock at a regular 9-to-5 job. No, I'm walking today. I'm standing in the shadow of where my parents were. And I got stuck, and it's called a holding pattern. I knew what I was supposed to be doing, but I froze. Some of you are freezing. Not temperature-wise, but you're freezing. You're in the middle of a marriage, and you no longer have a fight. And you're saying, but I wasn't raised this way, so I'm not going to catch a flight. I'm going to stay. But instead of, because if you're not fighting, you're froze. And this is how many of us are in our lives and our marriages. We are froze. What's that roly-poly little bug, whatever? They roll up. That's how many of us look. Because if you're not fighting and you've chosen to stay, that third one is so dangerous. It's almost death. So what happens when something attacks our purpose? What happens when God's plan for your life has changed? You have changed. You've got to make a decision. Am I going to fight? Am I going to catch the next flight? Or am I going to freeze? The only option that you and I need to pursue is to fight like your life depends on it. You've got to fight for your vision. You've got to fight for what God's called you to do. You've got to fight for your marriage. Somebody say fight. I'm not saying fight at your marriage, not fight at your spouse, but fight the enemy. That gentleman, that lady who's giving you that eye, you know that eye, at the store, fight. No, I will not. Ladies, you get a text from somebody, like that dress. No, fight. I'm talking about married people. Fight for your marriage. I'm going to fight for the vision that God gave Dad for this city and this area. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to press on you. I'm going to push on you. I'm going to lean on you. That's my role as a pastor and as a leader, is to get you to get out of a place where you're stuck. Because if you're not fighting, if you're not moving, you're froze. I'm going to tell our leadership team this afternoon. You're getting a preview of it right now, leaders, when we meet this afternoon. I'm going to push on you till you're uncomfortable, because the place that God is calling us to go is not a place of convenient. All of this isn't going to happen because I'm convenient. It's going to happen through inconvenience. Somebody say, I won't be there. I know my phone's probably blowing up now with a text message. I'm not coming if that's what you got to say. Then you're not a leader. If you want what God wants for you, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying, you got to fight. We got to fight for that acreage. We got to fight for that building. It's ours. God already said it, but what are we fighting? We're fighting the enemy. But I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from a place of victory. It's already ours. We can't put a sign on it yet, but it's ours. That's called faith. Let me keep moving. When we face failure in our life, we must decide, am I going to fight or keep going? Write this down. Write this down. Write this down. A single failure is not a final failure. Because I know the enemy goes, you messed up. You don't know how bad the mess up was. No, but I do know that there's no big sins or little sins with God. So regardless of what your mess up looks like, that single failure is not final. Just because you made a single mistake doesn't mean it's a final mistake. God will give you a restart, and his grace and mercy and his love and forgiveness will cover you. Aren't you grateful for a God who covers you with his grace? In regards to life, life is a series of failure and recovery. That's what our life is. It's a series of failure and recovery. Let me give you an example. You coming in here today proves the fact that life is a series of failure and recovery. What am I doing? What am I doing right now? Walking. I'm walking. No, I'm not. It's called controlled falling. It's called controlled falling. I'm set up to fall. I'm set up to fail. But what happens? I've controlled the failure. Now, if this foot doesn't go out, what's going to happen? I'm going to face plant. But it's called controlled falling. So if you'll think about it, that this whole thing is setting up us up to fail, but it can be controlled with God. Every day of your life, you spend showing yourself that if I fall, I can still step. Because what I'm falling. If my legs do not function and don't operate and I try to move, I will fall. What are we talking about? I'm saying this, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. I know that's not popular in church. You're going to fail. But because of God's grace and his forgiveness, you and I can have an intentional restart. It's like I can hear God saying, and I heard him saying this week, don't quit on me. As many times as you stumble, I'll be there to give you a restart. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but listen to these words again. No matter how many times you stumble, God is telling you today that I will give you a restart so that you can walk into your destiny. Don't give up and don't quit. The number one reason that we give up is two words, our past. Past failure, past pain, past feeling inadequate, past family has hurt me, friends has hurt me. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. This is just too hard. It's too much. It's overwhelming. It's all past. Listen, there were great people throughout Scripture who were held back because of their past. Many of you in this room have been held back because of your past. Jeremiah even wrote about it in Lamentations. I'm just going to read this for you quick. It will hit the screens, but I'm trying to get us through this. But I don't want to chop too much out because somebody in this room needs to hear it. Lamentations 3, 19 and 20 says this, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them and my soul is downcast within me. So he talks about three things. My affliction, that's my problems. He said, I remember my past problems, things beyond my control. The second thing he touched on was my wandering. That's your past mistakes, regrets, or things we wish we wouldn't have done, my mess ups. And the third thing he touched on was bitterness and gall. That's past relationships, hurt that came from another person. I don't think there's anybody in this room under the sound of my voice or listening online who has never experienced the hurt from another person. Job understood this too. Job 19:19 says this, my close friends detest me. Those I loved have turned against me. Anybody ever been there before? When family members turned against you. So how do we overcome past hurts and get a restart? Here it is. Next point. Get past the past. Not real profound, but you got to get over it. Get past the past. Lamentations 3:19 and 20 says, I remember my affliction. I'm going to read this first part and then I'm going to go all the way down again. I remember my affliction and I remember my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind. Everybody say yet. When you start facing those things about who did me wrong and all this stuff, call to your mind, and therefore, it says, yet this I call to my mind, and therefore I have hope, because I changed my mind. I changed my stinking thinking. Then I got hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Y'all remember that hymn? Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy I see. I just changed keys, but that's okay. Because all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. And great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. It's good news. In closing, how do I get a restart? Three things that I want you to do. Here they are. Number one, refocus. How do I get a restart? Refocus your mind. We just read it. Don't dwell on the past. Learn from it. Don't dwell on the hurt. Learn from it. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to allow them back in your life. Forgiveness has nothing to do with them anyway. Forgiveness has everything to do with you finding freedom. Because some people go, well, that doesn't sound Christ-like. No, because God's changing your heart. Maybe he hasn't changed theirs yet. Come on, stay with me, because I know that because we get so caught up with, yeah, but if you're going to forgive them, you've got to open. No. Forgiving someone who has hurt you is releasing you from the pain. They still got to deal with God for their actions. I just felt released right there, just in my own life. I don't know. I felt that for me. Anybody else? If you felt it, just I felt that. Forgiveness releases you so that you can find freedom. That doesn't mean you still got an attitude issue with them. No. Romans 12:2 says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, we try to change our actions. We try to change our personalities. No. Change starts in your mind and in your thought process, and then that will actually change what happens on the exterior. The reason some people haven't changed their actions on the outside is because they haven't released and changed their mind on the inside. The devil's got their mind, not God. Oh, I wrote it down this way. Becoming a new person doesn't start with your actions. It starts with your thoughts. I'll say it again because it's not on the screen. Becoming a new person doesn't start with your actions. It starts with your thoughts. Number two. So refocus your mind and then release your past. Everybody say release. Hey, I like that word. You can't allow yourself to be defined by your past. Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Forget it, don't dwell on it, learn from it, and move on. Psalms 103:10-12, he does not treat us, thank you Jesus, as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Hebrews 8:12. We'll get these verses up on social media for you this week. They didn't make it in time before Sunday. Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. If God is not remembering them, why are we? Here's the catch. It's up to you. And number three, finally, renew your heart. Understand that you can't do it on your own. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That's the picture of a real, authentic relationship with God. That when you come to Him and say, here I am, I'm broken and I'm a mess. You want a fresh start? You want a fresh start? Let me say it again. You want a fresh start? Trust God. Run to God. Get in His Word every day. Forget the past. It's back there for a reason. And you can't move forward looking in the rearview mirror. There's a reason why your front windshield is bigger than the one in the back. Because the direction that you're going is more important than where you've been. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, in the last few moments that we have, I want to pray for anybody here today right where you sit. You don't have to come to the altar. I want to pray for you right where you sit. And you say, Bradley Weber, I hear you say restart, but I need to start. I need to make the decision that I'm going to live the rest of my life for Jesus. I get it. I'm not going to be perfect, but I don't have to walk this thing alone. And I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior today in the last 120 seconds. If you're here today and you say, I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, I've never done it. I need to start living for Him today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just slip your hand up right where you sit. If you say, I want to live for Jesus, I see those hands, sweet girls. Yes, I do. Anybody else? Maybe you're here. I see that hand. Maybe you're here today and you say, I need a restart. I am His child. But I ain't always been acting like it, and I need to reset and restart today. Will you pray for me as your hands go up? Anybody here? Hands all over this room. Maybe you're listening online today. One hand on the steering wheel and one hand in the air in your car. We're going to pray for you too. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you that it does not return void. God, I thank you that there is power, transforming power in your word to do a work in us that we could never do on our own without you. So, Father, for every person, every child, young adult that raised their hands that they want to start a relationship with you, we're going to say this prayer together collectively. Oh, God, I come before you today confessing I'm broken, I'm a mess. Without you, I am nothing. I need you now to come into my life, make me new, create in me a clean heart, renew my mind, take out all the negative thoughts, all the thoughts that aren't of you. Forgive me of my sin, cleanse me, wash me, make me new. From this day forward, I start, I rekindle this deep relationship that we started so long ago. Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my comforter and deliverer. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And Father, for every person that lifted their hand that wants a restart, Father, I ask that you would grant that today. Father, every seed of negativity, every seed of doubt, every hurt, Father, I ask that you would begin healing and repairing, God, what the enemy has stolen. Make them new in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media, or head over to our website at releasecitychurch.org and click on the giving link and help us to continue to share the message of Jesus and His hope with the world. God bless you. Have an awesome week.